Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Wonderful to have you here tonight, and we're looking forward to our time of celebration together in the presence of the Lord. And we do these things tonight in remembrance of Him. And it's a real privilege. You know, I look forward, we all look forward to our opportunity to get together with the brethren and the fellow believers from Port Ludlow Community Church. And on behalf of Port Ludlow Community Church and the pastors and the worship team, as well as Grace Christian Center, the pastors and the team here, we are honored that you're here and we're looking forward to our time together. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you, Lord, for Good Friday. We thank you for your passion and for what you've done for us. Jesus, the reason we're here is because of what you have done. We love you because you first loved us. And Lord, tonight we pray that you'll be high and lifted up as we worship you. Your word declares that as we lift you up on high, you will draw all of us to yourself. Change us tonight, Lord. Drop your word into our spirits. And Jesus, tonight, let us draw ever closer to you and thankfulness and gratefulness and such passionate hearts to remember and be ever grateful for the passion you've expressed to us and for us. We thank you for your presence and dedicate this service to you. In the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Mike and Mary Johnson are going to lead us in a few choruses. Would you come, please?
In tonight, immediately saw that. Does that impress you? Just for a minute, I want you to focus on that crown of thorns up there. Very impressive, isn't it? Makes a real statement. That's a pretty wicked looking crown. And they planted that on his head. And the blood flowed down for you. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. From Tonight for God's Word. We all have to have a foundation for all of our lives, and certainly the Word, God's Word, as the psalmist said, He magnifies His Word even above His name. Amen. And it's from the Word that we get truth, and it abides forever, never returns void. Luke 23, beginning with verse 1. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it's as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased,
because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Let us continue in Luke chapter 23, verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to him the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, and he delivered Jesus to their will.
stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the upon that cross of Jesus, thine eye at times can see the very form of one who suffered there for me, and from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go back to know nothing more lost. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all the cross.
We're continuing our reading in the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. And I'll be reading verse 26 through 38. The Easter story, folks, is the really crux of what we believe. If it hadn't been for the cross, none of us would be here. It is the very soul and foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for this time of year to be able to celebrate this. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in front, way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and he said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a
written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews."
Beautiful, yes, wash us in the precious blood of Jesus. Reading on Luke 23:39-49, we get a glimpse of what was going on Good Friday. We see and hear conversation taking place. One of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him. "Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said, "Don't worry, I will. Today you will join me in paradise." By now it was noon. The whole earth became dark. A darkness lasting 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle. Jesus called loudly, "Father, I place my life in your hands." And then he breathed his last. When the captain saw what happened, he honored God. This man was innocent, a good man and innocent. All who had come around as spectators to watch the show, when they saw what had actually happened, were overcome with grief and headed home. Those who knew Jesus well, along with the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a respectful distance and kept vigil.
What a privilege.
What a privilege to be together. Do you know what kind of a testimony it is? And I know I'm a little off subject here, but do you know what kind of a testimony it is to have us come together like this in this place to worship and serve the Lord together? There are so many who live in so much competition, but Jesus Christ is everything to all of us. All of us. And that's why we're here together. Not only are we not in competition, we're praying that all the Bible-believing churches in the area are literally packed out with people that need Jesus, know Jesus, and want Him. Isn't that our prayer? Lord, let there be revival. And now, a little touch of country.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing at Calvary. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that through salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God dispensed at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. At Calvary. At Calvary.
Precious songs from we've been singing most all of our lives, aren't they? To continue on with the scripture reading, I want to read from Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 56. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their counsel. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after. They observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Folks, what just happened? What just took place? The passage of Scripture, as we take a look at Luke chapter 23, is literally stunning. It's amazing. It's bewildering to man, to his friends, but it's not bewildering to God. Because he purposefully, with full heart intent, moved from a crown in heaven to a cross on earth. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. I want you to look at each other and say, remember, Jesus did this for you. I want to read a couple of other scriptures out of the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to read it out of several translations. And it's dealing with what Jesus accomplished. What did he do here? And what was the mind and the heart that was within him? Philippians, chapter 2, first out of the New King James, verses 6 through 8. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Out of the NIV, the New International Version, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Out of the New Living, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Let me read it one more time out of the Message version. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to all of the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Verse 8. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Now, Jesus had known full glory and full power. He spoke, and worlds were created. Worlds and laws of nature were preserved and maintained, and myriads of angels were at his beck and call, and worship given to him, songs and joy. This was our God, our Lord. Jesus set aside his position and submitted to his Father's will and to his Father's plan. He had 3.5 years of ministry. You're all aware of this, of course. And part of his time he spent in real obscurity. And then he had absolute immense popularity. And now here we are in his final day in total rejection. He humbled himself to become the lowest form of a slave. He died brutally at the hands of those who had no idea on whom they spat, had no idea on whom the blood flowed freely upon, had no idea the one they lodged their blows upon, the one on whom they hurled insults and created and caused desperate torture and bloody difficulty. This is Jesus. We know him. King of kings, Lord of lords. And just days ago, he'd ridden into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, and crowds were cheering, and they were celebrating and praising and declaring their hosannas. Now here we are, hours later, and the cheers have turned to jeers. And he moves from a crown and a heavenly throne to a cross. Crowds were whipped up now. And they were promoting the release of one named Barabbas, a murderer, an insurrectionist. Demanded that this rabbi Jesus, this rabble-rouser, if you will, be crucified. Wait a minute. It wasn't all that long ago that this Jesus healed your sons and daughters. It wasn't all that long ago this Jesus fed you from the loaves and the fish. It wasn't all that long ago that you were delighted to have him in your midst, providing for your needs. He wept over your cities. He healed your sons and daughters. Those who were broken, without hope, and no relationship with God. Now, here he is, hanging on a cross, broken, abused, crucified, misused, literally impaled upon beams of wood, the humiliation of the cross. What's this all about? There had been an illegal trial in the dead of night. Jesus was pre-tortured, worse than any person before or since who received crucifixion. He was literally beaten so badly, folks. We need to understand, it's not like the movies, a small trickle of blood. He was beaten so badly, he was absolutely disfigured. The Bible says they couldn't even recognize him as a man. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14 is where this comes from. Listen to it out of several translations. There were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. His form marred beyond human likeness. Many were amazed when they saw him, out of the New Living Translation, beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. Out of the Message. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face. Disfigured past recognition. Now to the New King James. His visage was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. Crucifixion, the most cruel form of punishment to the worst of the worst kind of criminals. And they reserved this for Jesus. Wait a minute. Aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the one they're calling the King of the Jews? Why are you suffering the worst form of punishment? The Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant. A doulos, a bondslave in the Greek. Literally a bondslave, the servants of the servants. He chose to do this. He took it upon himself. Made in the likeness of men, just like you, just like me. He felt your feelings. He felt your temptations. In all points, like we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. Tonight, no matter who you are, and no matter what your circumstances are, Jesus Christ knows you. And he loves you passionately. And he did this for you and for me. You were in his eye. You were in his mind, in his heart, while he was on the cross. The Greek literally is tapeneo, and it means to depress, to humiliate, where he humbled himself. Tapeneo, it means he was depressed, he was humiliated, he brought himself low. He chose this. Would you? Would I? The death of a cross. You know, we read in the scripture, he was made to carry his cross. He'd been bloodied, he'd been battered, he'd been bruised and tortured. And then they made him carry his cross, the utter cruelty of it. And then we have these, if this will work. This is probably the most accurate rendering of the crown of thorns that I've ever seen. It's not rosebush thorns, folks. They were literally probably close to 3-inch spikes. And when you read the Greek, it literally means they slammed and crammed it into Jesus' head. Why? They put nails of iron in his wrists, in his feet. And crucifixion is a terrible way to die. Because when you put your weight on your hands, you can no longer sustain it. So you attempt to put your weight on your feet and you can no longer sustain it. And so you shift back and forth until one suffocates. You cannot breathe deeply enough. But what do we hear before his death? But the very words that bring us here tonight. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Turn to each other and say, Father, forgive them. Remind each other of these words. Father, forgive them. From his crown of glory, now set aside, to death upon a cross, he did it for you. He did it for me. So we would know how loved we are by God. Say it with me, church. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that good news? Isn't that fantastic news? Oh, church. He's impaled upon a cross. And then Joseph begs for his body. And they take him down and they lay him in a tomb, hewn out of the rock on which no person had yet lain. And there he is. One day, 2 days, and 3 days. Oh, but a new day is coming. Resurrection's coming. Resurrection and new life is coming. You just can't keep this good man down. But for now, as you depart tonight for your home, simply know that Jesus left his crown of glory for a crown of thorns and a cross for you and for me. And that's why there's a Good Friday. Now on Sunday, I know at Fort Ludlow Community Church, Pastor Dennis, and I know at Grace Christian Center, Pastor Kevin, we'll love telling you the rest of the story. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your families, and come to the house of God and celebrate this fantastic, true, wonderful passion in life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. From a crown of glory to a cross. But you know our message on Sunday, from a cross back to a crown. What great news. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Can you say that with me?
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? And would you just thank the Lord for His love for you? Folks, the mercy of God far exceeds our understanding. In my heart, these last months, ever since before Christmas, in the month of December, this wonderful truth of the mercy of God has just been enveloping my own thought and my own heart. I never thought about it until Kevin was preaching and sharing, and I thought, here, you know, the mercy of our God allowed Jesus, because of a merciful God, Jesus to be spared further suffering on the cross. You know, they came to break his legs, but he was already gone. It's the mercy of God to the Savior who has redeemed us by his blood. And today you are people who live under a cloud of God's mercy.
Amen.
When he was on the cross, you were on his mind.
Amen.
Oh, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for Calvary. Lord, we've spent time, years and months and decades, some of us, in sin, away from you, not receiving the message of hope and the message of Easter and the message of the cross. But tonight we can stand in this place knowing that it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth.
Yes, yes.
The Son of Righteousness left the glory of heaven and came to walk among us.
Yes.
And to touch us and to know us and to care for us and to love us even to the point of death. Oh, we thank you tonight, Jesus.
Yes,
on this day that is a black day, is a tough day, but yet it's a day of light.
Yes,
because without death, there can be no resurrection. But Lord, you came and you met every challenge, including the death of the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you tonight. And we give you praise for our salvation. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone in this congregation tonight that is unsure of their relationship with the Father in heaven, through the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ, that they will understand if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us.
Yes,
and to cleanse us from whatever that sin could be, because you are a God of mercy. And Jesus is a Savior of mercy. And we are people living in that mercy. Oh, we thank and praise you.
Yes,
we thank and praise
yes,
you.
We
bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallowed is your name. Glorious is your name.
Yes.
You are worthy.
Yes.
And we honor you and we bless you and we praise you tonight.
Yes,
how good it is to fellowship with brothers and sisters. And how wonderful it is to be able to name the name of Christ
yes.
over every single life in this place.
Yes.
And we call you Lord and Master. And we pray that we might not only receive you as Savior, but we will share in the fellowship of your sufferings, that we can be tools in the world that we live in for your kingdom's sake. Lord, now as we prepare for Easter Sunday, knowing it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Well, one thing you need to know, you're loved.
That's right. Yeah.
You have mercy.
That's right.
And you are an apple tonight because you're the apple of his eye.
Yeah, that's right.
Love one another. Kevin, are there any announcements here?
We have refreshments for you out in the foyer, and we thank you for coming. We're thrilled that you've celebrated with us all, and happy Easter. And God bless you. Enjoy your time of fellowship and refreshments. Thank you for coming.